Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for this fellowship, small but powerful, God. And it just reminds me of the group that you had around you. Small but powerful. Men's lives that came from utter despair to transformation. And then moved in the power of heaven on earth. I believe the same thing for this congregation, God. So I just pray, Father, you would help me today to convey what you gave me for them, what you gave me for me. And I ask it in Jesus' name. What a powerful name it is. Amen? All right. Hey, did you ever meet somebody in your life who, maybe they just passed through your life, you know, they weren't in your life for a long time, but they passed through your life, but they said something or did something that actually impacted it, that actually changed the direction of your life? I was thinking this week, you know, about this message, and I kept on thinking, the name of this message is "It's Your World, I'm Just Passing Through." And the reason that I picked that was back in, when I was 16 years old, I worked at Wetson's. Now, Bob, you remember where Wetson's, right? On Hempstead Turnpike. You used to drive in there, you know, there was nowhere to sit. But it had all the hot rods, you know, all the guys with the greasy hair, you know, everybody be hanging out, you know, with their babes, you know, and eating it, right? It was wild. And so Wetson's, I was 16, they hired this guy named Gino Lesh. Gino Lesh was 28 years old. He had been in prison. But he was one of these guys, he wasn't a bad guy. He would make these dumb choices. He just would make the wrong choice all the time. But he decided that he was going to step back. And his attitude was, "Hey man, it's your world. I'm just passing through." And I tell you, it really stuck with me. Gino had like a little hitch in his, you know, he was very cool. Had a little hitch in his step. You know, he used to go down to the Dream, have a couple of 15-cent beers at the Dream. You know, it was just a character. But he wasn't in my life for a long time. But that saying really stayed with me, and it really goes along with what I want to speak to you today about. The question that God had put to me this week was: is it possible for a Christian to really live a deep spiritual life and still gain the success that they have a desire to gain within their own hearts, you know, for position, not just the money, but the whole position? And can we do that? Do we have to go off into not a literal monastery, but do we have to go off and just like live this life that's so devoid of any interaction with the world? To really live a holy life, and I was thinking about it, and I felt the Lord say to me that it's not. It is possible. So we don't have to go into the monastery or to have that mindset that we have to be so separate from everybody. We can have a deep relationship with God and not forsake our dreams, not forsake our desires, because the world is only evil and poisonous to our souls when we become slaves to it. See, it's not a question of where we work, what we do, what we have, what we don't have, all the things that we encounter during our daily life. It's not a question, really, that. Our spiritual success really depends on our heart. Really depends on the condition of our heart. How are we looking at these things? You know, if we're taking so much pride in where we, you know, what we've achieved and all of this, then that's sort of not the right attitude of the heart. But if our hearts are right, if the conditions of our hearts are right, then every resource of the heavens can be at our disposal. And God wants us to use them and bless us with them. It's not that we just use them to bless other people, which will happen if our hearts are right, but to even have a blessing within ourselves. And he reminded me of Romans 14:17, said, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." So when I began to think about that, I was thinking that our access actually to the kingdom that's in our midst, that Jesus said is already here, really is not, it's not determined. Our access to the kingdom is not determined by how much scripture we know or how holy we are or what seminary we went to or what degrees we have. It doesn't have anything to do with that. It all has to do with the condition of our heart. Because the condition of our heart will speak about our soul's condition. When the conditions of our heart are right, then the world, even though it contains many temptations within it, and there are plenty of temptations in the world, those temptations will not overcome us. See, Jesus was tempted, right? He just was never overcome by them. So it's not a question of not being tempted by it. It's what you do with the temptation along. If the condition of your heart is right, you're going to be able to handle the temptation without a problem. You'll make the right choice, in other words. And we've been talking about choices because our lives are really about that. It's really about choices. Conditions of our heart generally is molded through the choices that we make every day. And it's in the midst of our comings and goings, in the midst of the temptations, does this form. And then our attitudes, the attitude that we have towards the things that we're doing or the people that we're interacting with, they help form our choices that determine our relationship with our Heavenly Father and ultimately then our ability to enter into the blessings of the kingdom. Does it make sense? And basically, that's the meaning of what is meant by the scripture that says that we're to be in the world but not of the world, right? That's what that means. We need to live our lives as someone who is sent into the world. You're sent into the world by God to complete a specific and important mission. And if we can maintain that mindset, regardless of what we're doing or where we're at, regardless of the temptations that are around us, then all the resources of the world become available. We can use them without a problem and enjoy them. So every success, because every desire that you have in your heart, that desire has been put there by God. You only have that desire because God put you. If you have a desire to, I don't know, to be a lawyer, a doctor, whatever it might be that you want to do. You want to be a musician or write. Those desires and the ability to do that to whatever degree has been put there by God. So whether or not you surrender it to God, and the way that you surrender it to God is to surrender it to the mission. Put the mission first. The mission has to be the main objective, and if it is, everything is cool. Now, you know what the mission is, right? The mission for every Christian, really, is to do our part in building God's kingdom here on earth, or to see God's kingdom be built on earth, so that it is here as it is there. And that's what Jesus prayed, right? Our Father who art in heaven, right? Let it be here on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we want to see. We want to see the kingdoms of this world replaced by the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. That's our mission. Lord, we pray right now, as it is there, let it be here. Let it be established here as it is there. And help us to do our part. 2 Corinthians 6:1, Paul said that we work together with him to do it. We're not doing it by ourselves. We work together with him. So, each day can start with, what's my part today, Lord? That's the way you set your sights on what the mission is. Remember, I said, put the mission first. How do you do that? Well, Lord, what's my part today? You know, there's an overall plan, and it's not wrong to have a plan, a long-term plan, but sometimes having a long-term plan can actually skew the way that you actually do your short-term stuff. You have a long-term plan, but how's the scripture go, right? We make our plans, but he directs our steps, right? So every day, Lord, what's my part in the plan today? Then if you pray that, whatever happens that day, regardless, whatever happens that day, you can know that that's part of the plan that you're to play that day. And so whatever happens in that day, the choices that you make will determine your heart's attitude toward the mission. Now, if you embrace that, instead of waking up, and I don't know if you've ever felt this way, but there were days when I woke up, especially when I was working in the flea market, you know, years ago, when I would wake up and go, oh, I don't want to get out of bed. I guess I was all by myself. Nobody else ever felt that way, right? Oh, I don't want to get out. I just cannot face this day. Too many days like that. Too many days like that. But if you embrace what I'm saying, Lord, what's my part today? And know that God is going to... The anticipation of what God is going to do can be so exciting because he's going to show up and you're going to see it. Because, you know, it's not that he's going to show up. We always pray. It always cracks me up. Holy Spirit, come. God, you know, fill the glory. Let it come. Gang, the glory is here. He's here. He's in our midst. And if you've confessed Jesus Christ, he's more than in your midst. He's in you. He's you. You're him. He's the Christ within, the hope of glory. See, it's just coming awake to that. It's not so much that God's got to come. We have to just become awake to it, which is fine. There's a process. Part of that process is, Lord, what's my part today? And as he shows up, we become a little bit more aware of his presence in the daily ins and outs. That's exciting. And that anticipation of what God is going to do can be the oxygen of our faith. Because it's the breath of life. It's the wind of the Ruach, the Spirit of God. And you know, without oxygen, you can't have a flame, can you? With it, he can set us on fire. And the anticipation of what he's going to do can be, because all things are possible with God, everything becomes possible. And anticipating that is amazing. See, in conjunction with that, if you can understand that God created us, right? We all know that. But he's not stopped creating you. You are still being created. I'm still being created. We're in this process of being created. The enemy would say, whoa, look at you. You failed in this and you stink and you... And just bring this burden on you to where you think your life is, this is it. But God says no. God says no. I'm still creating you. You're not finished. You're not finished yet. Have an anticipation that I'm going to do something that's so incredible in your life. And when you start to anticipate that, you know what happens? You become awake to it. And the things that you might have skipped over, God's movement in your life and those daily things become the reality now of your life, which then form your attitude towards everything else. Hallelujah. 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 Now, a big help in making the right choices is to be able to hear God's voice. Right? Now, we've talked about this from the beginning, and I know that some of you feel... I've even said it to me, and there's no guilt in this. There's no shame in this. Say, but Pastor Roy, I really don't hear God's voice in that way. And I understand that. I do understand that because there was a time when I didn't hear God's voice in that way either. But he taught me along the way. The way that you can, let me read something to you. Now, if you got a book in this Bible, it probably means that you're significant in the spirit, wouldn't you say? Well, I want to read something from the book of Jeremiah. He was a prophet. Yeah, this is Jeremiah 1. He says, verse 4, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, this is Jeremiah's attitude towards himself now. Then I said, Jeremiah, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak, and do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand, touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. So here you got Jeremiah. Okay, but you said, well, he heard the voice of the Lord. Yeah, but what did he hear? What did he hear? Did he really hear the voice of the Lord initially? Let me just go back to verse 6. I can't speak to anyone, he says, about you, because I can't fulfill my part of the mission, God. I'm just a kid. So when you say that you don't hear the voice of the Lord, what you're saying is, I'm a kid. I'm not mature enough. I can't hear what you're saying. I'm a kid. God says, don't be afraid. Stop looking at what's up for you. Then God touches his mouth, and the Spirit breathes life. And the words get formed on his lips. And God says, say that. Now go do it. See, the thing is that Jeremiah was looking at God from a mental perspective. He was living under the limitations of what he understood in his circumstances. We might say, well, I don't hear you, God. He was saying, I hear you, but I can't do it. Still the same thing. The circumstances were determining what he was going to do and what he wasn't going to do. God said, no, you're not going to do that. You're not going to live under the limitation of your circumstance of what you understand. You're going to live by my limitless power. You're going to speak the words that I put in your mouth. All right, let me give you an example. Now, let's say, now this is still sort of mystical, okay? Well, God spoke to him and this and that, right? Let's say that I'm feeling fearful. Now, I could go to God and say, God, I'm feeling fearful, and I don't hear anything. So I can choose then to walk away and still be fearful. Right? How many of us do that? Right? The choice could be this. I don't hear you in the rhema word. I don't hear, rhema means revelation. I don't hear the revelation to my heart. I don't hear your voice that way. But we have the Bible, we have the Logos, we have a written word of God, which is the same thing as that rhema word of God. So I can either choose to walk away from that circumstance, still fearful, I'm spitting on myself, I guess this is important, what I'm saying, the passion. My friend used to say, when we get old, we're going to sit on the front porch and we're both going to have gold drool cups. So I hope I'm not like progressing to the drool cup stage. But anyway, whatever, that's neither here nor there. Anyway, I could say that. I could say, I'm fearful, and I wouldn't say this. I would just go away fearful, right? That would be my choice. That'd be one choice. The other choice is, I could say, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, from 2 Timothy. Now, do I have to believe that? You don't initially have to believe that. All you have to do is say it. What? Okay, why not? Well, yeah, you're at a place where you're not choosing. The choice is not whether you believe it or not. The choice is whether you're going to be fearful or not. So I can go, okay, well, I'm fearful, and just stay fearful. Or I could say what God has said about that. I could say, put on my tongue, my words, the words that God has written in his book. Now, it's not just about quoting scripture. That's not what I'm saying here. When I use my voice to speak to my soul, I make a choice. So, I could either allow the thought of fear, you know, the fear, the thought of being fearful, steer me away from God's peace, or I could tell my soul what the words of God are. Now let's say I'm anxious, right? These are all things that we all feel all the time, right? I could walk around being anxious, or I could say, I could say, Lord, I need a word from you, and I don't hear God giving me comfort or whatever, but I know what the written word says. It says, be anxious for nothing. Instead, go ahead and pray and let God know what's going on for you. I'm paraphrasing what it says, but this is what it means. And if you do that, God says, then I'll give you the peace that surpasses anything that you can understand. And that peace is going to guard your heart and your mind through the Christ that's within you already. See, the Christ is already in you. We're coming awake to it. This is part of the way that we become awake to the Christ that's within us. It's not like you believe it already and it's already proven. That takes no faith. There's no faith in that. You have a circumstance, you're fearful, you're anxious, whatever it might be. You don't hear something, a rhema word from God, because you're really caught up in the tension of the moment. But you do have the written word. And if you don't know what the written word is, you know somebody who does know the written word to pray with you. Right? That's why we have elders in the church. Not that we're lording it over you, but we're there to assist. We're gifts. We're not a gift. Christ has given us as a gift to the church for exactly these reasons, these purposes, that when we're struggling with something and we don't know, we don't hear God, we don't know what the Word of God says, that we can go to an elder in the church, a brother or sister in the Lord, and have them pray with us. What God has said. We need to speak it, we need to focus on it, and we need to let it change our attitude. So, the first choice that I made here in this whole scenario is I made a choice to hear what God said about my circumstance. And then the second choice that I make is I'm going to focus on what God said. I may not believe it, I'm just going to focus on it. And what will happen is as I focus on it, my faith will grow. Because it's the oxygen of my faith. See, my truth might be is that I'm uptight. I'm anxious. I'm fearful. But that's not the truth. The truth is what the Word of God says. Not just the written word, but what God says. And if we don't hear Him directly like that, we hear Him through the written word. Does that make sense? All right. Because there's always two battles going on, right? We just read about that with Graham Cook. There's two battles. There's taking the land and then there's maintaining it. You want to get over the fear, but then you also don't want to go back into it. Take it, maintain it. And we will determine the thoughts of our mind by the things that we choose to focus on. Right? We become what we behold. We've been saying that for years. So, if we're going to have victory in this life and have a spiritual life that will allow us to enjoy all the desires of our hearts, to come into the success of this world and still have the spiritual life, to have victory over those things, we have to take authority over what's in our heads. Because the battle is always in our mind. Then, when we submit our thoughts to God, and not to the devil or his opinions. Because there is a power that speaks to us. You know, in 2 Corinthians 10, it says to take every thought captive so that it's obedient to Christ. The full version of that begins with casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Then, take every thought captive. See, because there are high things. And those high things that are not from the throne of God, they want to keep you from knowing what God wants you to know, which is an awareness of His presence already there. The knowledge of God is what He says about the circumstances that you're going through. And the thoughts that get constructed around those circumstances. Because if they're not submitted to God, the thoughts that we have, I'm telling you, they're going to just build upon each other to take us further and further away. More suspicion and more, you know, and just coming up with all this stuff that's untruth. And that changes our perspective, which then changes our actions and changes the way that we relate to others. These high things want to keep you from your mission. Why? Because if it becomes here like it is there, there's no place for them. You understand? There is elements of darkness that will cease to exist when it becomes here like it is there.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Hallelujah.
Yeah. So they're going to do everything they can because they know that they can't be any longer when that happens. Okay, so this week and next, I'm not going to make this a long message today. I'm going to give you a few things today, and I'm going to finish it up next week. But I want to give you a few things that I think that could help, and I want you to think about during the course of the week. It'll be on recording, but we wrote them down too, I think. I think we have them. Do we have them, John, written that? Yeah? Okay. I want you to focus on these things this week. Think about them, mull them over, and focus on them this week. They'll help you. You don't have to, but, you know, they'll help, I think. The first thing is that you need to really focus on is that God has already provided all that we need before the foundations of the world were set. Within that concept, you could know that God has more on his side than those that are on the side of the enemy. Right? And the 2 Kings 6, you know, that whole thing with Elijah and his servant, and they got surrounded by the Syrian army, and they were really scared, and Elijah said, wait, what are you getting scared about? Just open your eyes. Lord, open his eyes. And suddenly, they see the armies of the angel armies, the chariots of fire all around them. Those still exist today. I mean, even when the angels fell, only a third of the angels fell, which meant that two-thirds were still with God, right? It's only a third. All right, the second thing is that the possibilities are always greater than the problems. The possibilities in God are always greater than the problems. It just takes believing that they are. The example in Matthew 19, the guy comes with his kid who's sick, right? Said, Jesus, heal this kid. And Jesus said, do you think I can do it? Well, you know, he said it the way he said it. You know. I say it the way I say it. He said, do you think I can do it? He said, yeah. He said, Lord, I believe that you can. Help me in my unbelief. I'm immature, Lord. I believe it to the degree I can. Help me to become more mature in my understanding of this. That's what God is saying. A little bit. Just believe it a little bit. And he'll do the rest of it. The possibilities are always greater than the problems. Amen? Okay. In that same grouping there, the law of faith supersedes all natural laws. Hebrews 11:3 says this. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. So if you're seeing something, it wasn't formed by the word of God, you don't have to receive that. You could say the possibilities for this problem is greater. And what I'm not seeing is greater than what I'm seeing. Yes. The law of faith supersedes all natural laws. Some natural laws? No. All natural laws.
All of them.
The second thing to focus on. Now that was three things within the thing. I give you the subgroups, right? Give you a lot to think about. The second thing is that greater grace goes to the humble people. So let's say something comes up in your life and you're confronted by that. You have a choice. You can hold on to your, well, I'm so offended. Or you could humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and try to hear what's truth in the situation and then submit that to God. If it's true, receive it. If it's not true, throw it away. Simple as that. You don't have to get all huffy about it. Because let me tell you something. If somebody really loves you, you know that they love you. And if they come to you and say something to you out of love, you need to hear what they're saying. You don't have to do it. You just have to hear it. And then you take that and you submit it to God. And if God tells you, and the way that God could tell you that there's something that's not right in the way that you're feeling about somebody who made a correction with you, you have an uneasiness within you. If you have an uneasiness within you, it's probably not what was said to you. It's you. And so you need to go before God and say, what is this that's making me uneasy about what this person said? What is it? And then let the Lord speak to you about it. And if you'll do that, God will, he'll just release greater grace to you. See, because we're prideful even when we're not aware of our pride. Even when we think, oh, we're justified. And why did that person say that to me? And, you know, how could they? And getting all huffy about everything. Yeah, what do you mean? What, do you know, I want to tell you something that you might not have thought about. Do you realize that anxiety is the sin of pride? When you're anxious about something, it's a sin of pride. Before I explain that to you, let me read the scripture from 1 Peter. All right, just take that and put it in the back of your mind for a second. 1 Peter 5:5-7 says this, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Therefore, right, it's a continuation, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and that he may exalt you in due time, comma, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Do you know what that word care means? Casting your care for you means? It comes from a root word, two words in Greek that actually mean having your mind divided. And what that means, what it infers, and denotes is a divided mind denotes distractions, anxieties, burdens, and worries. It says, as an act of humility, take these and cast them before God. So what's the alternative? You have a choice here, right? You have a choice. You could either hold on to your worries, your burdens, your anxieties, or you can cast them. If casting them is humility, then holding on to them is pride. See, we act in pride in ways that are just, does this make sense? John, you're like looking like, what? Yeah. But this can affect us, whether you agree with that or not, it makes no difference. It affects you because it's true. You don't have to agree with it for it to be true. It's still going to affect you. When the word tells us to cast our care, all the burdens, all this kind of stuff. It says that he will exalt us. You know what exalt means, right? It means to take something and raise it. What's another word for raising something? An ascension. An ascension. And what are we all striving for? We're striving to ascend out of our natural man into the power of the new man. What did Jesus do? See, he just didn't, you know, suffer during Holy Week, and then Good Friday he was killed, and then even the blessing of the resurrection. It didn't end there at the resurrection, did it? He ascended into heaven, where he's seated at the right hand of God and now makes intercession for the rest of us. Do you understand that? The end of it is not resurrection. The end of it is ascension. When we cast our care upon him, because he cares for us, because he can do it, because he knows exactly what it's all about. What we're saying is, Lord, I'm not going to hold on to this stuff. Because when you're holding on to it, you're saying to God, you know, this is too big for you, God. I need to handle this myself. You know, I got to handle this. And you can't. We can't. We can't handle it. Because all it will do if we hold on to it is wear us down until we actually stumble. So if you don't remember anything else about this part of it, remember this. Get humble or stumble. Jeremiah again, Jeremiah 50. The proud shall stumble and fall, and no one shall raise them up. All right. The third one, the final one for today, is let the mission, everybody remembers what the mission is, right? Okay. Let the mission be your primary motivation for everything that you do. and start the day with that focus. Wake up in the morning, start the day with the focus. excuse me. I gave you the example. This is a day that the Lord has made. I've been personally doing that one. This is the day that you have made, Lord. I will rejoice and be glad in it today. I've set my focus on rejoicing that day because God is going to show himself. And that anticipation of God showing himself, he never fails. I'm telling you. He never fails. Always shows up. Always shows up. Psalm 113:3 says this, from the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name shall be praised. How incredibly appropriate is this psalm? I'm going to let you know how appropriate it is. Tomorrow night begins Passover. And Psalm 113 right through 118 are the psalms of what's called halal. It's a type of praise. And praise, it's a very demonstrative praise. It's a loud praise. It's a joyous praise. It's a shouting. It's that kind of praise. Do you know that it was the praise that when the tabernacle, when the Ark of the Covenant was recovered by King David, and he came, do you remember the story? He comes back into town, and he takes all his clothes off, and he's dancing before the Ark of the Covenant, you know, and here's the king, this very unkingly actions. You know why he did that? Well, first of all, let me tell you that it was a common practice that when you defeated an enemy, you took his king, the king of that enemy, you stripped them, and you forced them to dance in front of your king. And the defeated army, really humiliating him, you know? It's an act of humiliation. Humility. David did it because he realized that he wanted to submit in an halal, in a praise, in an act of praise to the king who had conquered his heart. How appropriate is that? He humbled himself. And because he humbled himself, God exalted him, gave him three incredible positions as king and as prophet, as priest. Unheard of. David the shepherd becomes the king of Israel. A man after God's own heart. The song of Halal. It also reminds me of what I think is like maybe the first great promise that's in the New Testament. In Matthew 6, verse 31, it says, therefore do not worry, saying what we shall eat, and what we shall drink, or what we shall wear. Verse 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. As we praise and as we make the mission the center of our day, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord shall be praised. Praised with an halal, with a total submission of our hearts in the humility of our hearts before the King who has conquered all, every enemy, sin and death, and has done it for us. His promise is to ascend us, bring us to an ascension. So keep the mission first, God is saying, and I'll take care of all the rest of the stuff. And I just want to end with just giving you a personal testimony. I already told you this a million times, but I'm going to tell you again. I was in business, I was in music, I had all these desires in my heart. I felt a real responsibility to take care of my family. probably because I was such a screw up before, you know, just taking care of myself and doing all kinds of things, anything that really made me, was pleasurable to me. When I had to fit my family, I really felt convicted. I had gotten saved shortly after that. And the business, at one point I asked God to be partners in our business, and he became partners in our business, and he would open doors that were just amazing. I would just show up somewhere, and there'd be like a treasure trove of merchandise. I was like, where did this come from? Now, I had to do the work. You know, I had to go through it and buy it and sell it and all the rest of the stuff. But God was faithful in there. And then one day, that was coming to an end, and I knew it. And I started to think about what else I was going to do to be able to take care of my family. And I spent 8 months, literally 8 months, trying to develop another business. And the night before we were going to sign the contract papers, is after 8 months of all kinds of work, the money guys pulled out. I almost had a heart attack. I almost fell on the thing because I was looking at my own ability to make supply, and I didn't know what I was going to do. So I got on my knees and I asked the Lord. And then shortly after that, like within a couple of days of that, I drove off of Eaton's Neck. Sarah was sick. The rest of the kids were somewhere else with Pastor Maria, I don't know where. And it was December. It was not freezing, so I just had like a sweatsuit on. I was just going to drive to the pharmacy and pick up this medicine for Sarah and come back. And as I drive coming back, a tree had fallen across and knocked down all the power lines to Eaton's Neck. There's only that one way in. And the police told me that it was going to be the next morning before I could get there. And I was like, this is like 5 in the afternoon. It's starting to get dark now. I'm like, I got to get back to my daughter. There's no way to even tell her. And so I'm sitting in the parking lot, and I'm praying, and I feel the Lord say to me, get out and start walking. Now, from this particular place in the parking lot there at Asherokin, you know where that is there, to my house is like 3 miles, you know, or maybe a little bit more. And it's not the easiest 3 miles either, right? There's water on both sides. And yeah, you wouldn't be wanting. It's dark, you know, I mean, there's no lights. Then you got to walk up that hill, you know, and I'm not, you know, I wasn't in the greatest shape that I was going to be. Anyway, so I'm arguing with God saying, you know, I'm not going to do this. And he's going, yeah, no, get out. Go do it. And I'm like, so the police come by and say, well, if you have four-wheel drive, you can drive on the sand and drive around this area where the things came down. Well, I didn't have four-wheel drive. I was lucky I had a car that had one wheel. You know, four-wheel drive. See, what are you juggling? So now I'm arguing with the Lord, and the wind's starting to pick up. Half an hour arguing with the Lord. You know, he's relentless. I mean, he doesn't say, oh, all right, forget it. You win. You don't have to do it. I'm going to fly you there. Don't worry about it. Just put your wings out, and I'll fly you like the wind. Well, we didn't know that song yet. If I knew that, Fly Me Like the Wind, I could have sang that song, and he would fly. So I reluctantly get out of the car, and I'm walking on the beach around this thing where the power lines went out. And I'm arguing with the Lord. I'm just grumbling. And I hear him say, I don't hear him say, oh, I'm going to send you somebody to take you. I hear him say, I want you to come into full-time ministry. What? I mean, the furthest thing, what? Where did that come from? But I had recognized that voice because that voice had called me out of the music business years ago. From that, I recognized that it was God, and that voice, when he called me out, told me something that was so absurd at that time that I was not. He said, "Be prepared never to sing again." What? That's what I. Not only what I did; it's who I was, my entire life. But he came through, and he gave me that business for 20 years, and now here this was coming to an end again. Now I want you to come into full-time ministry. What full-time ministry? I've helped, clean, move the chairs in the church. That's about it. You know? I knew about 5 scriptures, you know, about this time. No, I want you to come. And I'm like, So I'm arguing with the Lord for all these obvious things, all the circumstantial stuff that says that, well, I can't, why I can't do it, why I'm not equipped to do it. And he's not relenting. No, why don't you come at the Philemon? So I said, but Lord, I have four children, and the oldest one is like, Sarah must have been 16, if she was yet. And I really, beyond all things, I want them to go to college, you know. It just was my thing. I wanted them to go to college. I wanted them to go to college so I didn't have to take care of them for the rest of their lives. You know what I mean? Just get equipped and get the heck out of here. I don't want you living at my house at 40 years old. I'm selfish, you know. But that was on my heart. So I said, Lord, you know, I have these four kids, and how can this happen? There's no church. There's nothing. He said, and you heard me tell you this. He said, if you take care of my kids, I'll take care of your kids. This is 21 years later. You see how many people are here. I mean, this has not been that many more beforehand. Even before, there wasn't really that many more. But God has been faithful, not only through you, but through just circumstances that have just come out of the blue. Things that have just came out of nowhere. Why? Because his word is true. See, I had a choice to believe my circumstances, which would have been fine. Which means I would have had to work and go get a job, and I wouldn't have come into the ministry, and maybe I would have succeeded, maybe not. I think I would have always been able to put bread on the table, but I would not have had the blessing of being able to serve God in his mission, his particular thing that he wanted for my life. God has been faithful to his word. It doesn't even make sense. It makes no sense at all. God has been faithful to his word. So, from experience, I'm telling you, if you take care of what's on his heart, which is your part of the mission, whatever it might be, he will be faithful to take care of what's on your heart. Amen? And that's a pretty good deal, wouldn't you say? Amen. Why don't you stand and let me pray for you. I'll finish this up next week. I have a couple other things I want to give you. Okay, Father, I thank you. I thank you for this congregation, for those who are faithful to attend and to support it. But Lord, we know that they don't support us. They support your work in us. And so I thank you for that, God. I pray, Lord, the things that are on their hearts, the desires of their heart, Lord God, that they would remember to submit it to you, keeping your mission for their lives, which is going to be different for each one, first and foremost in their life, and that you will supply all of their needs according to your riches and glory in Christ. And I thank you, God, for that. I ask that you would bless them now and send them here with that blessing, that they would remember some of these things that we talked about today, Lord, and it would become a central focus, a focus point for their life this week, that the choices that we make would support the kingdom work. And as they humble themselves, you will exalt them, God, and bring them to ascension. I lift that up to you in Jesus' name. And the church of God said, Amen. Amen. God bless you.